How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Radio, joined as always by Dave Meltzer, March 28th, 2011, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Go-home show for Raw is over. We're going to be talking about that, plus some news as well. And in just a couple of days, I am heading out to Atlanta for the biggest wrestling show of the year. And if you've not heard enough about WrestleMania, well, it's WrestleMania WWE Writers Week on the website, and we've done, I think, three shows so far, got two more coming, and they've all been pretty damn great. So if you haven't had a chance to check them out yet, I encourage you to do so. And Dave, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Apparently much better than people working in WWE, I've been told.
Really?
A poisonous work environment.
Well, okay. I mean, like, I thought it was like something like it just happened like in the last 24 hours or something.
Well, being on call 24 hours a day for the last several months, I'm sure it
sucked.
Well,
I don't know. I feel like I'm on call 24 hours a day.
Well, yeah. Would you wish that life on many?
No, not. No, I mean, I wouldn't wish it on people, no, but I'm just saying it's.
Well, you're on call 24/7, but you're not also being yelled at all the time.
No, I'm very rarely yelled at.
And told your ideas suck.
My ideas suck. I don't think anyone ever tells me that.
Well, you're not
even when
here.
They do, no one tells me that.
Well, we'll have to change
on the
that.
Message board, but most of the time they don't know what they're talking about anyway.
Just say we'll change that here on this program if we need to. Yeah, they've been fascinating shows. You know, a lot of stories about Vince McMahon being completely out of his mind.
What's the best Vince McMahon out of his mind stuff?
When he tried to kill Court in a drag race.
Oh, you mean like run him over?
Like, he tried to get him to engage in I guess
bumper
what
cars?
Nick Hogan was in the middle of doing when tragedy struck.
You mean like race? You mean racing cars?
Racing cars in the middle of the road. Yes, Vince is a fast driver.
Oh yeah, well I know that. He used to always make his limo driver like in the 80s like go 100 miles an hour and go through stop signs and things like that. I remember those stories.
Now it's Vince going 100 miles an hour through stop signs, trying to get other creative writers to ride alongside him and risk their lives. Tried to run him off the road.
God, he's in his 60s. You know, usually like people, like when they get older, they start driving slower.
Not Vince.
Maybe it's the opposite.
He's out of his mind.
Well, he's Vince.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, let's face it, if you... I shouldn't say this because there have been people, I mean, I have spoken to people who have promoted wrestling for 40 years, and that's longer than Vince has, and they were actually, I would absolutely never say they were out of their minds. I mean, they're kind of in a different world, but out of their minds, absolutely not. So I can't say it's wrestling. So it may be... Maybe a lot of things. You know what? I watched a little bit, and I haven't watched the whole thing, but I'm bound and determined to do this in the next couple of days and write something on it this week, is the history of WrestleMania. But I watched, like, the first 35 minutes of it, and, I mean, the one thing that was, it's like, I go into these things expecting, you know, that the history that I watch is not going to be the history that I lived through. And it wasn't. But this was actually more than I expected. I mean, it's like there's a great deal of interpretation and lies and exaggerations and rewriting that I expect. But this was like way, way past that. I mean, there's so many things that they didn't bring up that were very important, which is okay, and things that they said that absolutely just, you know, were, you know, ridiculous. You know, and I'm just, I don't know. It's just kind of fascinating. And I, you know, the thing is, I believe that the people who said it believe it because they've said it for so long that it's like you say something for so long that it becomes true even though it absolutely never happened like that.
Sure.
So, anyway.
It's a story of wrestling in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, it was, you know, just like the whole thing of, you know, like that, you know, nothing had ever been done like this. And it's like, you know, Vince had done something like this before, you know, or when they did the WrestleMania 2 in like, you know, multiple cities and they're explaining how this, you know, idea, like no one had ever done it and, you know, how landmark it was. And it's just like Starrcade, like months earlier, already did it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's minor stuff. I mean, just, you know, when the numbers are the numbers, I mean, you know, all, you know, that's a WrestleMania tradition. But it's just, it's like the story is Vince is out water skiing, basically. Well, he wasn't necessarily water skiing. What they said was Vince came up, Vince was on a vacation, and they show, like, vacation footage of Vince water skiing. So it's like you give the impression it was he was water skiing, but he may have just been on a vacation. That's the only vacation footage they had. And he came up with this concept of, you know, doing this big mega card, and I'm just thinking, like, it's like he was around wrestling for all those years, and suddenly he had to, like, go on a vacation to come up with this idea of stuff that had been done since the beginning, you know, since Gotch and Hackenschmidt in, like, 1908 or 1911 or whenever it was.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, hey, I got this great idea. Let's do, like, this really big show, you know, and like, a big loaded show. I mean, that's what a great concept.
He invented main events.
No, but you know what else? What I thought was really interesting is, did you know that in 1987 at WrestleMania 3, when Ricky Steamboat and Randy Savage had that match, did you know that they proved something that in fact had never been proven before? You know what that is? That you don't have to be in the main event, but you can still have a great match.
Wait a second.
And it's like, my God, up until 1987, nobody knew that?
Wow.
Yeah.
This sounds like a fascinating DVD.
It was. And I'm only up to 1987, so I'm really only up to WrestleMania. Well, they do go to WrestleMania 3, and then they jump from WrestleMania 3 to 2008 WrestleMania with Trump and Vince, because they were both, you know, one's in Pontiac and one's in Detroit. So they jump to that, and then they move back to the Atlantic City ones, which actually makes sense because Donald Trump was in the hair match with Bobby Lashley, who's another person in the news this week. And then they showed the haircut and everything, and then they moved back in time to 4 and 5 because 4 and 5 were in Trump Plaza. So it actually, in a weird way, going out of order made sense. But I was up to, hearing about 4 and 5 and, you know, what great successes they were when, you know, I mean, those shows sucked. I mean, they didn't lose money, so, I mean, I can't say, you know, I mean, they were not money losers, but they sucked, and they went, you know, head-to-head with a competitive show in both cases that, you know, blew them out of the water, which also didn't happen, by the way. Not that they weren't blown out of the water, but in fact, those shows were never even acknowledged.
Well, let's talk about this year's big show. WrestleMania is coming up. We got the Raw Go Home show, and I found it to be a mixed bag. Maybe I'm in the minority here.
I think that the stuff that was important was excellent, and the stuff that wasn't important was actually pretty bad.
Well, we'll talk about this show from top to bottom, but I'll say a couple of things here. Number one, I thought the Triple H Undertaker Shawn Michaels thing was outstanding.
Absolutely. I thought it really picked up when Shawn came in.
Well, sure, of course. I thought that was outstanding. I thought that they did a shitty job with the Jerry Lawler Michael Cole deal. Like, the worst of all of the angles they've done was this week's show.
It was flat, and I was absolutely stunned that Lawler didn't get an interview. I mean, that just blew me away. It's like...
Well, he did later, apparently, but not on this show.
Oh, is it going to be on SmackDown?
He got an interview for SmackDown.
Yeah, but that's...
And apparently it fell flat, since it was like an hour after Rock's deal.
Well, you know, I mean, the thing with the SmackDown is that, you know, that... That not that many people. Well, yeah, I guess you're going to have 3 million people watching SmackDown this week, so it's not that much less. But to me, there's nobody who has more experience at doing a go home interview, being that he did it 52 weeks a year because he was always going home every Saturday for a Monday show, than Lawler. And I just thought that it's a given that you do something with Lawler, you get him mad, and he does the go home interview. And instead, we got Randy Orton sitting there and quietly vowing revenge on Punk, which actually I liked. I thought that was pretty good, but I'm just saying that, you know, I mean, of the two matches, even though they worked real hard on Orton and Punk, the fact is Lawler and Cole is a much bigger match. But, okay, so it wasn't done perfectly. They've had a lot of good angles leading up, but you know what? I mean, still, the Rock stuff was excellent, and the Triple H Undertaker, you know, I mean, I was not that thrilled with the build-up. I thought, you know, it was kind of disappointing, and then now it was a lot better. It was really good.
We'll talk about Rock when we get to that segment. Let's go over the show here. Punk was sitting in the ring. People were chanting his name. They're in Chicago. And he basically did this promo talking about Randy Orton. They actually showed footage They actually showed footage of the angle last week, which thankfully they cut away before we got the peak of his wife's acting abilities. But she was still there for part of this replay, which was astounding to me. And ended up with Orton coming out, knee taped up, courtesy of the shot with the wrench. Limped to the ring.
Limping.
Huh?
And he was limping.
Yeah, he got his
and I don't think he was limping over the weekend at the house shows, because I got reports from every night, and no one mentioned, in fact, several from Indy last night.
The house shows don't count, Dave. Come on now. So he limps down to the ring and gets
Why shouldn't he be limping at the house shows?
Well, he should be, but they don't count, so
okay.
I'm just telling you how things are done. Not saying it's right. So he got his knee taken out.
I'm just thinking logically. Somebody from WWE tonight, I had this discussion with someone from WWE, And that actually came up, and I didn't bring not that specific point. It was another point. And they go, the worst thing that you do is that you try to think logically when no one in this company ever does.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
He got you there.
Yeah.
So they had a brawl, and he laid out Punk and was going to do the punt when Randy, he went to do the punt and just kind of fell down. His knee gave out. So then Punk got up and gave him the GTS and laid him out. And
I thought he was more diabolical than that. I mean, he left, he ran away, and then he turned and saw that he was hurt, and he slowly got back in the ring and kicked his ass. I like that aspect of the timing of how he did that a lot.
It was a good angle.
Yeah,
it was a good angle
because he was such a chicken, and then all of a sudden, when he found out that the guy was helpless, he like thought about it and looked and made sure he wasn't like playing possum. And then when he realized he was helpless, he went back in there and attacked the dude and laid him out.
Yeah, Edge and Christian had a meeting, and apparently Edge, they did the angle on SmackDown. Edge is not allowed to touch Alberto Del Rio until the pay per view, or he loses his spot on the card. But the GM said, you can do whatever you want on Raw, which, when I first heard that, I thought, okay, this is so stupid. But they actually did it well in that they did Edge and Christian versus Alberto and Brodus Clay. Edge and Alberto were never in the ring together. They had the big comeback with Edge running wild on Brodus. Alberto and Christian ended up outside, and Alberto sent him into the barricade. Edge pinned Brodus. Alberto put Christian in the cross arm breaker. Edge chased him to the back. And then as he went back to check on his buddy, Alberto ran back down, pummeled him, put him in the cross arm breaker. So they were actually in a match together, but Edge never laid a hand on Alberto the entire segment. And Alberto beat him up and put him in his hold. Beat up both guys. And now here's the first question. What the hell is going on with Christian?
I figure he turns on Edge.
I know, but they didn't announce him being in the match.
Well, they show on the graphic he's in the corner.
Hmm.
He's in the corner and Brodus is in the corner. So he stops Brodus from interfering, which makes no sense because then he's going to turn on Edge and it's going to be the same thing anyway.
I just find it odd. I mean, it's great that he's in the corner and all, but he beat the man on TV several times.
Well, I'm sure that he'll bring that up.
Hmm. All right, well, I guess we'll see what happens. But they did a good job doing this angle here on this deal. I was sad to see Brodus lose yet again, but that's his role. They had...
Yeah, it is. It's kind of too bad because it's like he had a chance to be like a good monster. It's like, you know, a good monster needs to be a monster first and then sell later.
Yeah.
And they're doing it backwards. It's like they're going to beat him and beat him and beat him, and then they're going to go, why are you not a good monster?
Yeah. You're thinking logically again, Dave.
And then he's going to be shipped to Louisville or somewhere, wherever the new developmental territory is.
Logically again. Not good.
Maybe they'll ship him to Pawtucket.
The GM dinged, and he said we were going to find out if Lawler was truly ready for WrestleMania, because tonight it was going to be Lawler versus Swagger. And Lawler said he'd be happy to take the match. We'll talk about that in a bit here. I got something to say about that one, more so than we said earlier. We had a Undertaker Triple H video and then another Tough Enough commercial, and I'm still not sold on Tough Enough. I guess we'll see what happens next week, but
it's next week.
I got several commercials now, and none of them have lit my world on fire.
Yeah. I got all kinds of Rima stories.
Oh, yeah.
You know the one about the shootings and the stabbings and everything?
That never occurred.
Yeah, that never occurred. Yeah, one person who you and you know and I think you know. I mean, I know. But his sister and her were classmates in high school. So they went, you know, and they, you know, graduated in the same class and everything like that. And during the entire period, she was at this middle-class high school in Queens. There was not one stabbing nor one shooting in her high school, although she said that there was one. There was shooting and stabbings every day.
Daily?
Daily. So she's like, ready for this business.
Yeah, I don't know about... you'd think we'd hear in the news about a school where there was a school shooting every day.
Yeah. I mean, there are some dangerous schools in that area.
Sure.
You know, I mean, but...
A shooting
I don't know
every
about
day.
Shootings on a daily basis. That sounds pretty dangerous.
Something would
I
have
don't
to
know.
Have been done.
What?
You have to call the police at some point, you'd think. Or the
well, there was one,
National
one
Guard.
School in that area where they actually have a police station in school because there's, you know, so many crimes going on in the school.
Hmm.
So, I mean, there really are dangerous schools in that area.
Hmm.
She just didn't, I don't know. Maybe, who knows? I don't know what to say. Someone's gonna defend her.
Anybody listening to this that can find me a school where there's a shooting every single day, I will give you $100.
Don't do that because you know what's going to happen is someone's going to find a school where there was like three shootings during a calendar year, and they're going to somehow say that
that's
qualifies.
Not every day.
Okay, it's got to be at least one a day.
Every single day of the school year, there had to have been a shooting at this school.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult.
I think so.
Yeah, I think that one might be difficult. Even the worst school, you're not having a shooting a day.
They had core Big Show.
How about 365 shootings, but they were all in one day?
I'd give $100 if anyone can find that one as well.
Okay. Columbine. Yeah.
That was not 365 in a day.
Okay.
Core, Big Show, Kane, Santino, and Kozlov were at ringside, and they are just having an eight-man on Sunday. No Angle. Just having an eight-man.
Well, they've done a million angles for, you know, they've done a million angles for weeks. That's
fine. It was a great angle last week when two men beat up four.
Yeah, but that's the whole deal. We actually talked about it last week. Two on four, they're going to kill him in 2 minutes. But when they add Santino and Kozlov, it makes it like a handicap, and like now they have a chance to lose.
Well, the least
freaking Kozlov.
The least they could have done is explain that on television.
Well, I don't think that they really. I think that I just explained it for you.
Well, you did. So I'm waiting for them to give me an explanation for why Kane.
Well, there's no explanation. The whole deal is that they wanted Kane to play the trumpet, and they thought that that was really funny.
Well,
which
Kane...
by the way, I thought was absolutely. You know, I didn't mind Big Show. That was funny. But Kane, you know, come on.
Well, let's tell everybody what happened.
That's a little too much for me.
They had a match. It was Gabriel against Santino. The babyface won in a minute with the Cobra. So if there was even one single person who cared about this match, that person could not possibly give a shit after this. At which point...
Well, maybe they do, because maybe they want to see Kane play the trumpet again.
Well, they just saw it for free. Who cares now?
Maybe he'll play it longer.
I doubt it.
Okay.
It is a four-hour show. I guess that's possible. Maybe he'll bring out a real trumpet. Who knows? But
could
Santino
be.
Santino did his trumpet.
Well, we could Santino, Kozlov, Big Show, Tamina, and Kane, and they can be a marching band.
They could be. Santino played his trumpet, then Show and Kozlov joined in. Kane gave them the death stare, so they stopped, and then he did what they claimed was playing the trumpet.
It was the closest he could do.
I literally had to pinch myself to prove that this was not a nightmare that I was having watching this on my television.
I did not.
This was so bad.
Yeah, well.
Everything about this was horrible.
Yeah, this was bad.
The fact it's a match, the fact that the babyfaces won in a minute for free on TV the week before the match, the
How fact
that
the
Kane
fact
played
that
a trumpet.
Got Kofi Kingston's spot in WrestleMania after the last year. After
that as well.
After all those good Kofi Kingston matches and all those great Kozlov matches.
This was just hideous. Then we
but
had
I mean, Santino is over, and you know, I mean, he should have a spot on the show.
Sure.
Kozlov, I don't know.
Well, why don't you have Gabriel cheat and beat Santino, and then Santino can have a spot on the show and win, and then you
but
all play the trumpet.
Then they'd have no reason to play the trumpet.
Well, you play, because, no, Santino wins at WrestleMania, and then you play the trumpet.
But then you wouldn't know that they were going to play the trumpet ahead of time.
People need to pay to see Kane play the trumpet.
No, they don't. They do not. No one is paying to see that.
Well, I
no
believe...
No one's paying to see this match. It doesn't matter.
So then we had
it's
a match.
It's just a match on the card for eight guys, and I'll tell you what, you know, the Corrin Nexus, boy, you know, remember how much heat the Corrin Nexus had at Royal Rumble when they had the big confrontation?
Actually, no.
Well, they did, but it doesn't matter now.
Non-existent.
Yeah, it never happened.
Undertaker and Triple H came out. Triple H interrupted Undertaker's entrance, and then Undertaker had the temerity to interrupt his entrance. And so they had a stare down. And actually, Hunter was about to spit his water when Undertaker's dong interrupted his entrance. And when the lights came back on and they were face-to-face, I thought for sure that Hunter was going to finish his entrance and spit all the water in Undertaker's face. But he didn't.
No, because there's too much respect for him.
I guess so. Shawn came out and cut the promo for him for the pay-per-view. Basically, he started out talking about it was the biggest match of both of their careers, put them both over. Undertaker's got the greatest streak of all time. Hunter's his best friend. Neither would ever be the same again. Then he stared at Undertaker and says, "What in the world makes you think?" And then he turned to Hunter and said, "That you can do what I couldn't." And he was very upset at his friend for thinking that he could do this. And Hunter said the truth was that Shawn had gotten soft. Somewhere along the line, he learned that if he was going to be the showstopper in Mr. WrestleMania, he didn't have to win to be those things. Whereas he, Triple H, was not Shawn Michaels in any way, so he had to win. And
So is that explained that Shawn could do jobs anytime he wanted, but Triple H should not do jobs?
That's basically what he's saying, yes.
Okay.
So
right. I just wanted to make it clear.
Said that Shawn and Undertaker were the only two men he respected. He said that him and Shawn had driven down the road years ago, and they told each other that if either of them got to the point they could no longer perform at the standard they'd set for themselves, the other guy was going to look him in the eye and tell him it was time.
Do you know how many wrestlers have told me that?
That you need to tell him it's time?
Yeah. Only two, but they're both still wrestling.
I was going to say. They'll be telling you that until...
Well, actually, some of them are dead.
Yes, they're long gone.
They died first. I shouldn't laugh about that because it's not funny.
Well, they... So anyway, Hunter said, the reason I came out and interrupted you that first time was to tell you, out of respect, that Undertaker, it's time. And people booed. And he said, it's not a popular decision. Maybe you can't even see it, but I can. You'll always be a legend. I'll always respect you. But in 6 days, your undefeated streak ends. I am going to end it. I'm going to be the one, that being 18-1. And the fans were not happy for this whatsoever. And Undertaker took the mic. And he said, if someone is going to put me down, I'd like for it to be you. Said he had great respect for Hunter. And he said, I know you're going to kill yourself trying to end the streak, but when it's over, the streak is going to be alive, and so will I. And if you don't believe me, you can ask your friend. He said Shawn walked around every day knowing that Undertaker had beaten him, humiliated him. He had been humbled by the Undertaker. And he said Shawn was going to the Hall of Fame full of regrets. And Shawn was so sad about this that he tried to super kick the Undertaker. But the Undertaker grabbed his foot, went for the choke slam. Hunter broke it up. They got face to face. Shawn was over with his head down in the corner, and Hunter said, Shawn, tell him why I'm going to beat him at WrestleMania. And Shawn refused to answer, and he hung his head, and he walked out of the ring, and he looked at Hunter, and he said, I'm sorry, and then he walked away. And Undertaker looked at Triple H for a while, and then he sort of chuckled and tipped his hat, and he walked away, and that was the end of that. And as it turns out, I don't know if you've been on the board, Dave, but apparently this is very controversial because it appears you and I saw this differently from many other people.
In what sense?
In the sense that you and I both figured that Hunter and Shawn had some sort of plan and Shawn got cold feet.
That's how I saw it.
And other people are saying no. All this was about was Hunter asking Shawn to confirm that he could beat Undertaker and Shawn doesn't think he can.
I don't think so.
I don't either, because to me, if that's the idea, no one thinks Hunter can win anyway. So what would be the point of Shawn going out there and reiterating to everybody that he doesn't think that Hunter can win either? That seems kind of dumb.
Yeah.
I figured that...
Well, you're right, by the way.
No.
Just so you know.
I figured that they had some sort of plan concocted, and Sean got cold feet. And presumably at Mania, Sean is going to head out there and sit ringside to at least give people the idea that, hey, maybe these two guys are going to fuck the Undertaker out of his streak.
Well, I think Sean comes out at the finish one way or the other.
Sure.
And a lot of, you know, a lot of different things can happen, including Hunter losing and then attacking Sean, Sean attacking Hunter, or Hunter, you know, or just Sean coming in and then freezing, or, you know, there's, you know, a lot of different ways you can go with it.
Sure.
But I think Sean's in there in some fashion.
Yeah. Well,
but
I mean,
not until the end.
It would seem he would have to be based on this angle, although we said that about Jim Ross as well.
You know, yeah, this doesn't have to be.
Yeah. It was a hell of a segment, though. This was a hell of a segment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like I said, the stuff that mattered, they hit a home run with. The stuff that didn't matter, they didn't.
Which brings us to Lawler.
Well, okay, except for the Jerry Lawler segment.
I was going to say, that brings us to Lawler and Swagger.
Yeah, well, that was an important segment, and they didn't hit a home run with that.
So, Swagger comes out, and Lawler comes out with new music, and God knows why they changed
it. Why would you do that?
Because they lost their minds.
I mean, the only like, right before his big match, you change. I mean, everyone sees about, I mean, didn't they learn anything from Ron Killings?
Well, Lawler's not rapping, thank God.
No, but still, Jerry Lawler's had this music for 100 years, and before the week before WrestleMania, change it the week after WrestleMania.
Yeah, you'd think. So they have a match that goes like a minute, and then Lawler just gets a chair and hits Swagger with the chair for the disqualification. And that was stupid. So he beat him up, and then he saw Cole. And he went after Cole with the chair, tried to destroy the coal mine. Cole
ran in and locked himself in.
Sure. Lawler tried to climb over. The geek security guy stopped him.
I liked Lawler climbing over. That was cool.
Well, I was wondering why he did that, since he would be throwing away his WrestleMania match the week before WrestleMania.
No, it's okay, though, because it didn't happen.
But he was stupid enough to try.
Yeah, but since it didn't happen, it's okay, because it just adds excitement.
So Cole threw a pop at him. Lawler went away, and I don't know. It's the idea of you're teasing this match at Mania, and I know that probably nobody in the world considers this except me, but I don't know. Aren't you telling people that a chair could be used and the match could be over in 1 minute via DQ? It's not like this is a no-disqualification match, and the announcer's going to go, this chair is going to be legal at WrestleMania.
I don't think anyone's thinking like that.
Hmm?
I mean, you're right in when you're thinking logically, but I don't think anyone's thinking like that. And the coke in the face is right out of, you know, Andy Kaufman on the David Letterman show. So, you know, that's, you know, so.
And sadly, Cole didn't win the Intergender Championship.
Which he probably should have the week before, huh?
I thought so, but.
Actually would have been a great idea, but they probably didn't think of it.
Too logically again.
I don't know. Lawler would have had to suggest that. Nobody else would know that one anyway. And I don't think Lawler is involved with creative at all, even in his own angle. By the way, the Hunter Undertaker thing was, I don't want to say no, but pretty much no input from Vince and Brian and the regular writers. That was just those two guys. So if you're, you know, I mean, if anything, you know, it tells me that when the chips are down and those two guys have to put together an angle, they're pretty damn good at it.
Sure. Sure.
Unfortunately, they were better than the people whose job is to put together the good angles.
Well, that's fine. Hunter's taking over someday.
Yeah, but. Okay.
Hopefully with a crew that consists of Shawn Michaels and Undertaker. Vicky Guerrero.
Well, except they have to keep wrestling.
No, here's what you do. I'll tell you how to make
because
WWE.
Because they're going to go out there and go, God, none of these guys can do anything.
I'll tell you how to make WWE great.
Okay, tell me.
You get rid of all of the writing crew. You get rid of Vince. You get rid of Stephanie. Well, maybe I'm getting a little too ahead of myself here, but.
It's not happening.
Maybe, you know, give Hunter a shot, but make sure he's not an active wrestler so that he can book somebody else as beating everybody and not himself.
Okay.
Undertaker's his right-hand man, and you put Shawn Michaels on commentary to play the old Vince McMahon role of he cuts the promos for everybody, he explains all the angles, he adds logic to everything, and life's good.
It's possible.
He cut the WrestleMania promo for these two guys.
What?
He came out and cut the WrestleMania promo for these two guys.
Yeah, but it was still something he was sort of involved in. When he can cut a promo for Kane, that's when I'll be impressed.
You don't think Shawn Michaels could cut a promo for Kane?
He probably could. I don't know.
You kidding me?
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels should cut promos for everybody's WrestleMania match.
Do you know that Bruiser Brody, when he booked in Dallas, actually did that? But and it was
well, that's what Cornette's been doing for years.
Cornette does it, yeah. But Bruiser Brody was funnier because when he was booking,
he
they had baby faces who were like, they had Lance Von Erich who couldn't cut a promo, Ultimate Warrior as Dingo Warrior who couldn't cut a promo, Kevin who couldn't cut a promo, you know, just all these guys who couldn't cut a promo to save their lives. So what they did was they would have them all come out, do their promo, and Brody would be standing there with them. Like, Brody would cut his promo for his match, and he would never leave, you know, like he's a guest on The Tonight Show or something, right? He just would stand there. They would come in, and Warrior would come out and make no sense, and then Brody would go, well, what Warrior's trying to say is, and then he would cut the promo.
Kind of like Kevin Gene Okerlund.
Come out and do a promo and, you know, make no sense, and he'd go, what Kevin was trying to say was, and then he would cut the promo. But you know what? It didn't really work. I have to say, I mean,
didn't Gene kind of do that? He'd lead guys through interviews, and they'd get lost.
Gene Okerlund carry guys who couldn't do promos. Yeah, but it's not the same thing.
Well, no, but. And by the way, they'll bring Gene Okerlund back in my perfect WWE world as well, and the fan.
And will he be 20 years younger?
I don't know about that, but he's still great. So
I don't know if he'd be great on a weekly basis.
Oh, I don't know.
He's getting up there.
He is getting up there, but for the time being, I'm not saying in 20 years I need to use him in this role.
Well, you have to make Jim Ross an announcer for sure.
Oh yeah, of course. Okay. Sheamus and Dolph against Morrison and Daniel Bryan. Not much of a match. Went to commercial, came back, four-way. Sheamus pinned Bryan with the high cross.
They gave it a new name.
Did they? Right when I finally get used to the new fucking name, they give it another new one?
Oh, God. Something Justice. Albino Justice.
You've got to be kidding me.
No, it's not that. I made that up. Hold on. I should know this.
Did it have the word done in it? That'd be quite the rib.
Pale Justice. Pale Justice is the new name.
Gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I didn't understand that finish at all. Just didn't understand it.
Well.
Because Bryan's the challenger going for the title on WrestleMania. So why would the champion pin him clean?
Well, maybe Bryan's taking the title back at WrestleMania. But, this is what they do.
Okay, but even so, I guess if he wins the title. But I don't. But that makes no sense because he shouldn't win the title back. Sheamus just won it, and it's kind of like funny with it, and he didn't cut his funny promo, and you know he shouldn't. I don't know. They should have done like mix something up. I don't know. I guess they didn't want Dolph to lose because he's new to the brand, and they've beaten Morrison a couple times. So I guess they didn't want to beat Sheamus since they beat him for six straight months. So, but I mean, they could have just had like distraction or something. I don't know. I just thought that it was. You know, if they're going to have a WrestleMania title match, that the challenger shouldn't get beat that clean, especially. Like, even if it was, like, foot on the ropes or something, it would have been more palatable.
We had that one dude from Superstars interviewing Orton, and his question was, are you going to make it to WrestleMania? And we needed Brock there to say that was a stupid question.
Yeah, I wanted him to get RKO'd for that one.
Orton said, I don't know if you know this, but I have serious anger management issues. It's a real line, by the way. Said he'd ruin the careers of men he didn't know, and he despised Punk more than any human he'd ever met. And the question was not whether he'd make it to Mania, the question was whether Punk would make it out.
Yeah, that was good.
Pretty good promo. Yeah. Had a pretty damn good video for the Road Warriors going to the Hall of Fame.
And Ellering.
And Ellering, yeah.
Ellering's going in. I didn't know. You know what? They never mentioned who's inducting anyone, did they?
Nope. Not that I know of.
I mean, like the Terry Funk, which they never mentioned. You know, Dusty's inducting them. I don't even have a clue who's inducting Sonny or Sean.
I mean,
as of a couple days ago, Sean hadn't even didn't even know.
He doesn't know who.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's going to be Brett because Brett doesn't think he's going.
We had the Trish Snooki deal. And this is like the biggest waste of a full day of shooting I've ever seen.
Can you imagine that they were there from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. to get that bad footage?
What happened was Snooki and Trish are at a bar. Some douchebag hits on them.
That's a local independent wrestler. That's who I don't know his name, but he wrestles as Dan Echoes, as the brother of Robbie, even though they're actually not related.
How about that? Well, he got slapped. And then Lay Cool showed up, and then they had a brawl, and then the babyfaces called them bitches straight out of TNA, and then it ended.
Yeah, actually, TNA brawls are like a million times better.
I was not going to say those words, actually.
But
I was going to say TNA brawls are a million times longer. They just go on forever.
Yeah, but this was just bad.
This was horrible, yes.
From what I was told, they had like tons of footage, and this was the closest thing to arable that they could gather up.
My God.
Yeah, it must have been a real bad day of shooting. Well, she showed, you know, Snooki showed incredible charisma there.
Oh, yeah, I'll say.
Yeah, I mean, Trish, just like, I don't know. She's acting. She's done acting, too.
Well.
But wasn't her night. Maybe not her scene, either.
No, this didn't work out for anyone, quite frankly. Except
yeah.
The guy that got slapped. He was at least memorable.
Yeah.
So we had the big main event, which was Rock coming out and doing a promo to sell his new Team Bring It merchandise, and called out John Cena. It'd been his dream, he said, to call out Cena and put a boot up his ass. And Cena came out and he cut this long promo about how all this time all he'd wanted was for Rock to come back. He just wanted him to come back and get in the ring and have great moments like this. And he said Rock cut a promo on him early, and it was like a famous person honoring him, like a celebrity roast. And he said he just wanted to hear what The Rock had to say. And what Rock had to say was he didn't like the colors he wore, and he didn't like the fact that Cena was a big role model for the kids. And he said, I'm damn proud of being the role model for the children. And he said if Rock had a gripe about him working his tail to the bone to further this business, they could talk about it. He said, who the hell are you to judge me and my music and my fans? He said, if that's what it takes to be on Team Bring It, I don't want to bring it. I'll give you my application back. And Rock threatened to beat his ass when out came The Miz and Alex Riley. Yes, Alex Riley was part of this segment, everybody. And he came out and he called them overhyped and overrated, the O Brothers. And he said that he'd owned Cena the entire last month. He said that at least Cena was going to go down swinging, unlike The Rock. He said The Rock was a movie star, a man who had made over $1 billion at the box office, and he was not going to risk getting beaten up or embarrassed by The Miz. Because he guaranteed that would happen. He guaranteed that he was going to beat up The Rock. And he said he was the champion. He would still be the champion after Mania. Told him he could run his mouth all he wanted. And anyway, Rock was about ready to kick his ass when Riley forearmed Rock. Him and Miz double-teamed him. Rock made his own comeback on both guys. He punched Riley outside. He DDT'd The Miz. He gave him the people's elbow and sent him outside like a complete geek. And then as he was celebrating, Cena hit the ring and gave Rock the FU. And he did the you can't see me gesture. He walked out. A lot of boos. Cole said things have been taken to a whole new level, which, I don't know. I thought that Rock was great in his role. I thought that Cena was great in his role. I thought that Miz was great in his role of being just a complete geek. But in the end, Miz was a complete geek, and we're back to the match everybody wants to see that they're not going to be able to see. And I was just like,
But I think that at some point they're going to actually deliver it, so it's okay.
Well, that's fine, but I just, when it was over, I was like, did this really feel like something that sold a bunch of buys for WrestleMania? I don't know.
I think it was okay. I think it was okay because it just, again, the money is Cena and Rock, not Cena and Miz.
But that's not what we get this weekend.
I know, it's weird.
It's really weird.
It's a weird dynamic, but you go where the money is, and the money is using this match to build, and usually at Mania, it's the climax. It's not the build to something else, but in this case, it's just how it is. It's the build to something else, whether it's SummerSlam or next year's Mania or whatever.
I don't know what to make of what they're going to do there. I mean, you know, based on television, one would think that Miz just gets beaten clean for the title, and that's the end of him for a while, but They've humiliated him so bad here that I almost presume he's retaining the title due to Rock screwing Cena or something. I don't know. And
they could do that.
I don't know.
That would work.
I don't know. Still, I just am still gobsmacked with the handling of the Miz.
Rock didn't do a rock bottom. So Rock still got the rock bottom that he's going to probably do at WrestleMania to somebody.
Yeah.
Which could be Miz, as opposed. But I think it's going to be Cena.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to make, you know, do that, and then, you know, Miz gets the win. I don't know if it's after the match.
Maybe he counts the pin for Cena, and everyone thinks that they're friends, and then he gives him the rock bottom.
Yeah, could definitely do that.
So we shall see. What is your gut feeling on how this show does?
I think it's going to do really, really well. Wrestling's hot right now. You know, I mean, the one thing, like, I expected that the ratings would be up, you know, after I saw the first segment on February 14th. You know, I just thought that they'd be up through WrestleMania, so that didn't surprise me. But I really was surprised at how the houses have come up, you know, from pretty much well below normal levels. Especially January was a bad month. And February wasn't that good. And then March has just taken off like nobody's business. And that tells me that something's going on, you know, something that people are willing to spend money on. So I think they're going to do, you know, I think they're going to do real, real well.
They did what did they do last year? 480?
497, 498.
497, 498. So how much better do you think they're doing?
650, 700?
You think 700 domestic?
You know what? Yeah, I could be wrong, and I could be way overestimating the value of Rock. But so far, I have not overestimated the value of him. But I'm thinking close to 700. And I think he means a lot this time out. The thing where I could be way wrong is actually because he did this TV tonight, and because he's not in a match, and he did, you know, and he actually did get physical, that might be the novelty thing that, and now the people, maybe not be as special, you know, because the thing is that I think it desperately needs, or they desperately needed Rock to do one more interview after this happened, and they didn't do it, but I don't know. I think it's going to do real well. Again, no other competition this weekend, which I think is a big deal. I think that really hurt last year's show.
I'm not afraid to be wrong, as everybody is well aware. So I am going to throw out a prediction that I may have egg on my face very soon, but I am going to say 525.
Look, Elimination Chamber did terrible. I don't know. I think Rock means far too much.
Well, we'll see. If Rock were wrestling, I would call myself an idiot for this prediction. But
no, you're right. You're right. He's not wrestling, and that could make a difference. But I just, again, if the house shows weren't up as much as they were, I would not be that optimistic about Mania, because I would, you know, even with Rock, but the house shows being up tells me that there is, you know, and just people I've talked with, you know, it's like wrestling's hot right now, which, again, wrestling was very cold in January. You know, and for a long time it's been very cold. And it's genuinely hot. And so then, I mean, why wouldn't, you know, Mania is going to be the show that's, again, the big recipient of it. Now, you know, coming back and you know, the next pay-per-view after this, and the summer pay-per-views, I do think that they're going to do really bad. Because I think that's where Elimination Chamber, you know, which came after Rock came back, I think that's really indicative of the non-WrestleMania pay-per-view, and that one did so much worse than, I mean, if going to predict the most pessimistic number for that Elimination Chamber, it would have been a higher number than they did. So that's something.
Running low on time, but let's do a couple of the news notes here. First off, the SmackDown. I guess some of the SmackDown notes from the show. This past evening, they did not, apparently unless I'm out of my mind here, the preview for SmackDown listed a Del Rio Christian Falls Count Anywhere match.
Yeah, they changed their mind.
I do not see that match anywhere here.
I think they changed their mind on that one.
They had a Lawler speech on SmackDown promising to shut Cole up. Disappointing crowd response. They were done with the talking.
Well, you know, this was after the Rock promo, right?
Oh, yeah.
What are you going to do? How are you going to follow that?
This person asks, why didn't they tape SmackDown first? That's a good question.
I was stunned when I heard that they didn't. Because I, you know, you watch that thing, you know that nothing's going to get a reaction after that. I mean, that's just common sense.
Now, they did do something strange here in the sense that Kingston beat Wade Barrett via DQ, and then all the core ran in, Big Show, Kane, all the others. So they threw Kingston into the mix, and I'm not sure how he would play into that match. Maybe in the corner, maybe a mascot. I don't know. And then
maybe Kozlov gets jumped.
That could be. Take him off the show.
Yeah, and then he becomes, you know, or he can dress as Tamina and fool everyone.
Well, maybe Kofi will be there to, you know, he'll keep an eye on Tamina.
Well, no, but she's on their side.
Oh, that's right. Well, you can still keep an eye on her.
Why?
She would probably kick his ass. You're right. And Cody beat Chris Masters, and then Ray ran in and beat up Cody, which don't even ask me to explain that one.
Okay. I won't.
Ray Orton, Edge, and Cena beat Punk, Cody, Del Rio, and Miz.
Well, isn't that a dark match?
I presume that's a dark match, yeah.
I don't know. I haven't looked at the thing close enough.
Well, Ray pinned Del Rio, so I presume it has to be a dark match. Yeah, unless they've completely...
And they had Del Rio take everyone's finisher, so that's a dark match, yeah.
Yeah.
Why, after all those hours, would you even bother to do a dark match?
I don't have any earthly idea.
I mean, you know, people, once they've seen The Rock, it's like, that's the end of the show.
For Impact, we had Hernandez and Anarkia beating Dreamer and Devon. Morgan attacked Hernandez and Anarkia after the match. Joe beat Gunner in a non-title match. Gunner is the TV champion, for those of you that have already forgotten, and God knows how you could not have. Rosita and Sarita beat Angelina and Velvet Sky. So Love is now hypnotized. Hypnotized.
Or drugged.
By Winter. Or she could be unfit to perform.
Yeah.
Which would not be the first person in this company. So she turned on Sky, left her laying. Sky got pinned. Love turned on Sky, yeah. So there you go. So I guess my idea of Sky and Winter ending up together, well, I guess they could still do that. It still wouldn't make no sense, but that makes sense in TNA. Bubba Ray beat the unmasked Chris Daniels in a lumberjack match when Hogan knocked out Daniels with a chain. So they had a ref distraction and outside interference in a lumberjack match.
Yeah.
That
always happens.
Sure, I guess.
Every lumberjack match is guaranteed outside interference.
Jarrett said Angle had been arrested for violating a restraining order. Apparently he had a restraining order involving alcohol.
and driving.
Yeah. Allegedly, of course.
By the way, we haven't talked about that. Why? Now, you answer me. Why, even if you're in the most whacked out state possible, I mean, I don't mean North Dakota, I mean whacked out state. Why would you go on Twitter and you get arrested and you go on Twitter and just completely fabricate a story? Why would you ever do that?
I can't tell you the answer to that question.
Okay. Because he said that, you know, on Twitter, if you remember, that he got caught up in a snowbank. And it had not snowed, and it had not rained, and there was no ice on the road, or anything. Why would you make up a snowbank?
That is going, you know, at least a story about I was distracted by a text and pulled over on the median. At least, you know, that's like, okay, you know, that's believable. But imaginary snow?
An imaginary snowbank.
Hmm.
And why would you say that you called up police when somebody else called up police, and you didn't call up police?
I don't know.
I mean, it's like... I mean, I you know, the Michael Cole thing's strange, but at least...
This is bizarre, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. However, having said that, I'm more surprised by Michael Cole than Kurt Angle.
Yeah. Yes, I would agree with that, actually. Cole, especially, for Christ's sake, the whole thing with Glad the week before, Jesus, dude.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is that he, you know, whatever. It was bad judgment, and he didn't know what he was doing, and he's not Twitter savvy, and I guess he didn't realize that you know how the whole world knows right away, or something. I don't know, but Kurt is Twitter savvy, and you know, but I guess Kurt probably figures that he's just sending a message to his wrestling fans, and the police would never hear about it, nor would you know the press hear about it and actually call up the police.
It does get better.
What?
So after this happened on the tapings here, Jarrett's in a cage doing a promo, and Kurt Angle, who allegedly was arrested for allegedly being intoxicated in a vehicle and failing a field sobriety test, they had him come down on a zip line to get
into the
cage.
Is that amazing or what?
Jesus.
Yeah.
Why not just, well, so anyway, he did, and Jeff ran away, so.
Okay, now here's the thing. So they're setting up. This talk about logic. They're setting up the cage match, right? So, you know, Jeff does this interview, and he's in a cage. And Kurt does the zip line into the cage, and Jeff climbs out of the cage and runs away. What the fuck do they have a cage match for?
Well, you have a cage match in 2011 because it's in a cage.
Yeah, but, I mean, isn't, like, the whole idea that you when you're in the cage, you can't run?
Hey, I'll give TNA this, and I rarely do. At least in TNA, when they have pointless cage matches where you can enter and leave the cage at will, at least men still get thrown into the cage and bleed as a result, unlike in WWE, where there are cage matches for no fucking reason and no one bleeds once they're in there.
Well, they ban blood, so, I mean, I understand that.
So that's stupid. So don't have a stupid cage match then, for Christ's sake.
Well, they think it draws ratings.
Well, RV, it doesn't.
Although every year it draws less.
I was going to say. It is, yeah,
I mean,
it
they
is
managed
fact.
To, the you know, between the Elimination Chamber and the Hell in a Cell, they're managing to negate, you know, all the drawing power that those cages used to have.
And finally, RVD beat Sting in a non-title match with Mr. Anderson as referee. When Anderson turned on Sting, RVD used the splash. Anderson laid out RVD. And apparently he is a heel now and has joined Immortal, unless it's a swerve. And, yeah, I have absolutely no desire to ever see those men in the ring together again.
All three of them.
Anderson, RVD, and Sting sounds like that's Jenna Maraska level here at this point.
You're being way too hard on them.
Come on now.
I mean, way too hard.
I may have overstepped my boundaries with the Jenna Maraska line. But still, that match is going to be horrible.
Yeah.
And then Suicide and Kendrick and Saban beat Generation Me and Robbie E. So there you go, the Impact spoilers. The final note for today, Jericho, Dancing with the Stars, I heard he lit the world on fire this evening.
I guess I didn't watch, but I know he tied for first.
I heard he did a hell of a job, and he slicked his hair back and looked slick and tied
for
first.
Him. What?
Tied for first place.
Tied for first place. Good for him. He's not getting eliminated.
That's right.
Unlike that singing reality show where he was the first guy out.
Well, he's not going to be the first guy out this time, it appears. And he
tied looks like he's going to be in for a while, which is good.
He tied for first tonight, which I guess means he's in fourth place overall.
Yeah.
Out of, I believe, 11
yes.
total deals. So
there's 11 couples, yeah.
That's pretty good. And the Karate Kid, Daniel LaRusso, ironically, is currently in...
Ralph Macchio's the Karate Kid.
Yeah, that was his name in the movie, Daniel LaRusso.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. You're right.
Don't know your Karate Kid trivia? My God, Dave. So there you go. That's Dancing with the Stars update, and that is it for today. We're going to wrap this up, and tomorrow we've got yet another show. Chris Goff, former writer, worked at WWE.com as well in the late 90s, early 2000s, worked a lot with Shane McMahon, and got on the writing team and was basically told by Shane, you realize this will cut your employment dramatically. And him and...
And he was right.
He was right. That is true. And,
Did he did the documentary on Kansas City Wrestling.
Yes, he did, but we didn't have much time to talk about that. But
well, that's too bad. I liked that. I had a good time watching that documentary.
Yeah. I'd actually forgotten about that until he started plugging at the end, and I was like, oh my God, that's right. So
yeah.
A little too late. But that one's going up tomorrow, everybody, so check that one out. Check out today's show. And that is it for today. We are going to wrap it up. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. New issue of Figure 4 out as well. So check it out, and we'll talk to you again after a while.